And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. And as I mentioned during the last show, you know, especially in these times with some of the financial hardships that folks are experiencing, we appreciate it more than ever. I have just one quick announcement here before we go to our guests. And Kathleen McCarthy, this coming Monday night, she will be at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House in Malvern. And the evening is being billed as the Spiritual Warfare 2023, How the Enemy Targets Our Families and How to Stop It. It'll begin at 6 o'clock p.m. with Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, Rosary and live worship music from 6:30 to 7:30. Kathleen will give a presentation at 7:30, followed by fellowship. The evening is free, but they would like you to register at salvationofsouls.net. That's salvationofsouls.net. Again, this is going to take place at the Malvern Retreat House Monday evening, October the 30th, from 6 to roughly 9:30 p.m. Without any further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce friends Peter DePalma and Father B. Thomas Celso. This is the last Wednesday of the month, so we bill it as Divine Will Wednesday. And we'll be talking about Luisa Picaretta, the gift of the divine will, and some of her writings. So welcome back to the show, Father and Peter. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. Good to be with you.
So
as always, I checked my email the evening before the program. I didn't see any cancellation notice, so thanks be to God. We're here.
Amen. And just a quick statement. I think, Father, you've been with us once before. And
yes.
When you've gotten to know a mutual friend of ours now, Mary B. D'Amico, over at the Malvern Retreat House. And when she was looking to put on that retreat, she was inspired to do it, but she wasn't sure where to start and how to, you know, who to contact. And when she did a search on the internet for your name, she said one of the first things that came up was our show over a year ago. And she called me and she said, "You know Father Celso?" And it's like, well, I've not met him directly, but we have a mutual friend in Peter. And if, you know, you need to get in touch with him, I'm sure we can arrange it. And as you know, that retreat came off the end of June, beginning of July. This summer was sold out within 8 days. And I know they're looking forward to having you back again. So thanks for all that you've done for the folks in this area. We certainly appreciate it.
Well, thank you, too. God bless you. Yeah. This is great.
Yeah, that's God's way of connecting the dots, right?
He always does.
He makes the connections, and it's just on us to make the best of them. So praise God. So, Peter, it has been a while since Father Celso was here. You want to just let folks kind of know who he is?
Yeah, I mean, we would take the program to explain who he is, but I'm just going to leave it at this. He's a retired priest in the New York Diocese. And Father, you know, again, I haven't met everyone yet, but I've met a good number of people that are in the Divine Will and studying the Divine Will, journeying the Divine Will. I've never met anyone that has been doing it longer and that has more expertise in it. Again, I'm not going to call him old, but he's been here the longest. I think 1976, Father articulated to me the other day, and it shows. You know, Father can bring a fresh perspective. He can tie it to today. He can tie it to yesterday. He can tie it to the beginning. Again, and he just repeats the words of Jesus. He repeats the words of our Blessed Mother, and he stays so on track. And I'm sure he's going to do that today. But you know, Ken, one of the things that I think I articulated to you, and maybe I mentioned to Father also, is that, you know, we get a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls, and we're living during tumultuous times. But Father will tell you, we're living in really the greatest time to be alive. And St. Louis de Montfort said, in the end times, they'll be the greatest of all saints, not because of who we are, but because of the gifts that God is going to present and allow us to use. And with that being said, there are still, again, there's a natural anxiety, there's a natural nervousness. And I think, again, our goal is to that if we can properly introduce the divine will so that somebody can just say, okay, I'm going to give, let me give God an opportunity here. I've been trying to do it my way. Let me do it his way and embrace this gift. Know about this gift. Your fears, they get squashed. You're not worried anymore. You're not. You're concerned, of course, for what God has to endure, of course, and what His children have to go through. But there's no more worry. And I think the hope, the message of hope, I think, if anything else resonates from this program today through Father Celso, I would be content, and I think Father feels the same way.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Peter. And here we go. The great thing about the divine will is Jesus. He's the one that dictated these words to Louisa, and Louisa, in obedience to her spiritual director, wrote down everything that Jesus said. And one of the things that's really amazing is how he talks about the present time that we're in. And he says, there are great difficulties that we're in. He says, the world is upside down. And this is what he says. He says, the certainty of the coming of the kingdom of the divine will upon earth, how all difficulties will melt away like stone, like snow before a burning sun. And the human will is the dark room of creatures. So what is the human will? The human will is what you say when you go to confession. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought, what I said, what I did, what I failed to do, and I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid all the near occasions of sin. And then the next week shows up, and you go, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I... It's the human will is when Adam was told not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden. That's all he was asked. He listened to Eve and obeyed the devil. And he lost in that obedience to the evil one. He lost the gift of the divine will, that was to be in God's image and likeness. And what the Lord said is, you have to leave paradise. You have denied the thing that I asked of you, and you have to go with the one that you wanted to be with, that you listened to, and that was the devil, because Jesus said, "I saw the devil fall like lightning from the earth." So for the last 6,000 years, we've been under the thumb of the devil. Yes, we've been redeemed 2,000 years ago. But Jesus tells Louisa, this was a time of pausing, he said, of getting strength with what he taught the apostles. And we have learned from the saints in the last 2,000 years how to do the will of God. And now Jesus has said to Louisa, now I'm going to teach you how to live in the will of God. And this is our great hope. To get an idea of the divine will, it's like when the turbulence was going on in the water and Jesus was walking towards the apostles on the water, Peter yelled out, "If you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. I take my prayer and make it your command. You speak, you pray what I am asking." And Jesus says, "Okay, come on out of the boat. Come." And he gets out of the boat and he's walking on the water. This is exactly where we are today, with the water all over the place. I mean, the water higher than the boat, lower than the boat. The storm is all around us. And what does Jesus say? He says to Peter, when Peter starts sinking, "Why did you fail? Why did you falter?" When you take your eyes off of Jesus in this turbulent time, this storm that we're in, you're going to drown. You're not going to make it. Our eyes have to be on Jesus. So this is why he has given to Louisa and to us the book of heaven. As we read the book of heaven, we begin to hear Jesus teach us and guide us. There's really been very little teaching in the church for the last 60 years. Very little teaching. And who teaches dogma and doctrine from the pulpit? Who talks about the evils of abortion from the pulpit? Who talks about the evils of contraception from the pulpit? This wholeness, this beauty that's found in the church is rather mute. So Jesus knew this as our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. He knew this, and he gave to Louisa, he dictated to Louisa the Book of Heaven. And this is what he says, and what we're going to read today is from Volume 30, January 3rd, 1932. Louisa says, "How can this kingdom of the divine will ever be able to come? The sin abounds. Evil gets worse. It seems to me that the creatures are not disposed to receive such a great good, so much so that there is not a soul, as good as they may be, who truly wants to occupy himself with making known what regards the divine will. Now, Jesus has been talking to Louisa for 33 years at this time. He's explained to her the beauty of the divine will, how powerful the divine will, how our Lord wants us. The only prayer he taught was the Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth in us, this dust, as it is in heaven. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. And what he taught Louisa is how and why our Father is going to be fulfilled in our time. We're going to see this happen. That's why everything seems to be falling apart. Sin abounds. Evil gets worse. There's nobody disposed, not even a soul, Jesus says, who wants to occupy himself with regards to the divine will. And then Louisa says this, if God does not operate a prodigy with his divine omnipotence, the kingdom of the divine fiat may be in heaven, but as for the earth, she says, it is useless to think about it. Now, she's putting this down on paper because her spiritual director says, put everything down that Jesus tells you. What you are experiencing and what Jesus tells you. So this is what Jesus tells Louisa. He says, my daughter Louisa, everything is possible for the triune God. See, this is the joy of the divine will. It's a certainty. Christian hope is certitude. We know God is going to take care of this. When Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, what does that mean? That means an all-out war inside and outside the church, and it's going to look as if the church is gone. And Jesus says it's not going to prevail, though. It's going to go by, and God is going to do this. So he says the impossibilities and difficulties are in the insurmountable obstacles of the creatures are going to melt before our supreme majesty like snow in front of a burning sun. Everything is in whether we triune God want it. All the rest is nothing. So this gives us great hope. God gave one prayer to the apostles. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is going to happen because it is Jesus's prayer. And we're echoing, we are praying Jesus's prayer. And he says this. He says, everything is in whether we triune God want it, all the rest is nothing. Did the same not happen in redemption? Sin abounded more than ever. Only a small group of people were awaiting the Messiah. That's the Essenes. The Pharisees weren't awaiting for it. The Sadducees weren't awaiting for it. It was the Essenes. The Essenes basically said, we're leaving Jerusalem. We're going to go out into the desert. And what did they do? They were longing for the Messiah, praying for the Messiah. Who was an Essene? It was Anna and Joachim. It was Zechariah and Elizabeth. It was John the Baptist. It was Andrew. What is Andrew? He runs to Peter and he says, "The Messiah. We found the Messiah." They were longing for the Messiah, the Essenes. What I find is we're not, as John Paul II says, you're not supposed to be conservative. Don't call yourself conservative. Don't call yourself liberal. He says you must be orthodox. This orthodoxy, to me, is the Essenes of today, where we're longing for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus says, it's only a small group of people awaiting the Messiah. It's only a small group of people praying for the kingdom. In the midst of this group, how many were have hypocrisies? How many sins of all kinds? They were often idolatrous. But it was decreed by our triune God that I, Jesus, was to come upon earth. In the face of our decrees, all evils cannot prevent what we, triune God, want to do. This, you have to understand, God has predestined us to live at this time. And when you think of the fight, the battle, it always comes to mind is St. Joan of Arc. You know, what did she say? She says, I am not afraid. She says, I was born for this time. She said, God is with me. That's how Catholic we have to be. I'm not afraid. I was born for this time. God is with me. Now, what Joan went through, Joan of Arc went through, a 16-year-old girl leading a battle, an army, and defeating another army. We are going to face principalities and powers. That's what we're going to face. But we're with all the angels and saints. and we're with Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our King. We are with our Mother and Queen, Our Lady, and nothing can stop this. All the evils cannot prevent what God wants to do. The kingdom's coming. And all this doom and gloom that's out there, it doesn't belong to us. We know Jesus Christ. We love Jesus Christ. We spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We look at Jesus at the monstrance. We fall in love with God in front of the Eucharist. We go to Holy Mass. We receive Holy Communion. God says to us, He says to Louisa, I give you Holy Communion in my Holy Church. Why? So that you can enter into a perennial communion with me. What's the perennial communion? That's what Adam had. You will walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. That's what's coming. The kingdom is coming. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. This is the most glorious time to be alive. It really is. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, what happens is God teaches us how to get rid of our human will. Okay, what is our human will? It's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. You know, people say to me, oh, Father, you don't understand. I've got to worry about my children. You know, they're not in the church. My grandchildren, they're not even baptized. Well, I got to worry about them. And Jesus said to the apostles, does worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. And then he says, stop worrying. It's a command from Jesus. So I say, you know, if you trust in Jesus, give your children to Jesus. Consecrate your children to Jesus and Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And trust them. When the fear comes in again, stop feeding the demon of fear. Stop feeding the demon of worry and starve them to death so that they are not part of your life anymore. The kingdom of heaven is without worry, without fear, without anxiety, without complaints, without negativity, and to the point of we being without sin. That's what's coming. It's not here yet. But Jesus is asking us to live heaven. He said, when I rose from the dead, this is what he tells Louisa, I rose from the dead so that people will rise from the death of their human will to again re-enter into living in the divine will. It's ours. It's the universal life is what God breathed into Adam. The Catholic life is what God breathed into Adam. There's not many religions. God isn't like that. Choose what you want. No, he knows what he wants for us, the universal life. So when Jesus and Mary come to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve, 2,000 years ago, they began the universal life again. And now, with the time that we're living in, all the heresies of the church, against the church, are hitting the church again. And nobody's studied. Nobody's looked at this. We don't have that saint of that time to show the heresy and stop the heresy. So we're getting hit from inside the church and outside the church, and it's nothing to be afraid of. God is looking at us and he says to Louisa, if you're peaceful, I am there. If you're joyful, I am there. If you're happy, I am there. You are anticipating heaven, Jesus says. But if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, Jesus says you are anticipating hell. What do you want? People who are worried, fearful, anxious, and complaining, and negative, and they're having ulcers and heart attacks and strokes. Why? It's their trust isn't in the Lord. It has to be in the Lord. So Jesus says, we, triune God, are glorified more by one act alone in our divine will than we are offended by all the evils and all the sins committed by all of humanity because our act, listen to this, of the divine will is divine and immense. That's what Peter did when he walked on the water. He did a divine thing. Humans don't walk on the water. It was a sign to us, Jesus. And then what does Jesus say to him? He says, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? See, God is going to fill us with such confidence in him, trust in him and his holy church, that even while it's being attacked inside and outside, we are confident that God is going to win. It's not going to be destroyed. So Jesus says,
Father, before you continue, you hit a few really important things about faith and trust because, you know, again, all of this this vital information, these divine truths that are being divulged to us. I mean, unless we receive them disposed, they're going to be impotent. In fact, he tells us, I think in volume 36, he says, my divine will has two opposite effects, totally opposite. For those who trust, I'm paraphrasing, for those who trust and believe this, it's going to be life and light. But for those who are looking just to split hairs and to find faults, they're going to be blinded. They're not going to understand a thing. So I think that's one of the reasons how we can explain. I mean, how can we present? How can, like, I know you've gone through the same example we have. We can explain this divine will to 10 people, and 9 out of 10 will say thank you, but no thank you. How come one or two or just a few can see a light similar to what we saw and others don't, but we're looking at the same thing?
It's a gift. It's a free gift. And the human will is miserable. How many people call you on the phone and want to share their misery with you?
Less.
And it's our job as Catholics is to say, Jesus, I trust in you. What did Jesus say to Saint Faustina? The final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Why? We're going to have to trust Jesus more than ever. And if we trust Jesus, you become happy. He shows you all the time that he is a good and holy and faithful God. He says this. He says, our act of the divine will is divine and immense, and in its immensity, it embraces all of eternity, all the centuries, and extends to every human being. He says, therefore, it is not of our infinite wisdom not to give life even to just one act of our divine will because of the evils of humanity. We, Triune God, place ourselves on our divine side, and we do whatever we have to do. And the creatures, humanity, we leave by their human side. And acting as sovereigns, we, Triune God, lord it over everything and everyone, even over evil. And when we put our decrees, the first decree was creation. The second decree was redemption. The third decree, and this is why it's such a great time to be alive, it's sanctification. This new and divine way of holiness is coming upon the earth. This is what John Paul, I was sitting 30 feet from John Paul II at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. That's for Luisa's spiritual director. And he said, we are now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. And I went, is he reading Luisa? Mm-hmm. Because he was so powerful in saying, what did he do? He read St. Faustina, Divine Mercy, and he went to all the world to what? To tell all the world that the king is coming. He went to all the world, 27 years. And what did he say? Get ready for the glory of the church. Get ready for the new springtime of mankind. I mean, we got to go back and listen to what he says. The writings of Luisa came out of the secret archives of the Vatican in 1996. What did John Paul do? 1997 was the year of Jesus. 1998 was the year of the Holy Spirit. 1999 was the year of the Father. Why? To get us ready for the third millennium. Now, what did St. Padre Pio said? St. Padre Pio said the world and the church is going to focus on Luisa Picaretta in the third millennium. Luisa, he says, is a second sun in the sky that's going to give light and life to everyone and everything. What does that mean? Mystically, something's going to happen that's going to be so amazing that there is no more darkness. Something's coming that's so beautiful. Now, what does that mean? When you see the sun setting in the west, going down, setting, all of a sudden there's going to be another sun coming up. There's going to be no more darkness. What's coming is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Listen to what Jesus says. He loves us so much. He says, we do what we have to do. He says, and the creatures we leave on the human side. Okay, we have the option to embrace God or not, to say fiat to God or not. That's what Our Lady did. Our Lady said fiat mihi, and God did 100% of the work. The angel said, you're going to be the mother of God. She says, how can this be? I've already made a vow of virginity. I'm not going to know man. I'll be married to Joseph, but we already made a vow of chastity, of purity, never to be as husband and wife, but more of brother and sister. So how can I become the mother? What do I need to do? Our Lady said to the angel. The angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, yes, fiat mihi. Let it be done as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission. Jesus is saying, basically, now that justice my is coming upon the earth was our decree, the decree of redemption, so is the decree of the kingdom of our divine will upon earth. Even more, Jesus said, it can be said that one and the other are one single decree. Having carried out the first of this decree, that's creation, the second decree was redemption. Now we're ready for the third decree, that's sanctification. You have to understand, the saints did not have sanctification. Now, that might sound strange, but they did everything in a saintly human manner. What is sanctification? It's to be back in God's image and likeness. So through holy baptism, we enter into God's image, and now with this great gift of the divine will, we enter into the likeness of God. This is what's coming to the earth. The saints have been praying for this, begging for this for 2,000 years. And Jesus says to Louisa, now is the time that I'm going to give this to humanity. This is the most glorious time to be alive. He says, it is true that we, triune God, pace ourselves according to the good dispositions of humanity in order to give that great good of an act of our divine will can produce. Okay, it looks like we're going to have to stop right here for a couple-minute break.
Yep.
So yeah. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Father. Yeah. And one of the questions I do have, Father, is when I first started learning about Louisa, it was because I came across Daniel O'Connor, and he was getting ready to publish his book, Thy Will Be Done. And I have it sounds prideful. I have a following, a lot of people that happen to be in recovery from addictions. And one of our steps is that we seek through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only of his knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So there's a lot of people that, you know, they're trying to figure out what God's will is for them. And that's where I was so attracted to this whole, because this community prays millions of times a day all around the world, thy will not mine be done. They often tacked it on to the end of the serenity prayer that's often used. And I think that the recovery community is going to be one that buys into this because of the simple fact that they're probably, as a group or as a segment of society, are supposed to be looking to figure out what God's will for is for them and to carry it out. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the difference between doing God's will and trying to figure out what his will is for our human will versus living in the gift of the divine will. But we have reached the bottom of the hour.
That sounds great.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll carry on our conversation about the gift of the divine will. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990. And to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now, your host Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Our guests today are my good friends, Father Peter DePalma. Peter DePalma and Father B. Thomas Celso on this last Wednesday of the month, which we call Divine Will Wednesday. And again, Peter and Father, thank you so much for being with us. And before we went to the break, before we get back into the reading that we're going through, just the difference, Father, between trying to align our human will with God's will versus living in the divine will.
Yes, yes. There's two things. The saints have taught us how to do the will of God. Okay? The doing the will of God is... Jesus explains it similar to this. He says, when St. Teresa washed the dishes, God the Father would look down and go, oh, there's little Teresa washing the dishes in honor of me. Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this wonderful? The divine will is the true life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, okay? And when somebody is in the divine will and says, I want to wash the dishes in the divine will, one with Jesus, one with Mary, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, at that point, God the Father looks down and says, there is my Son washing the dishes. It's a divine act because Jesus is washing in our washing. Jesus is breathing in our breathing. Jesus is beating in our heart beating because what Jesus teaches Louisa is doing the will of God is like a servant. Living in the will of God, you become one with God as God originally planned Adam and his children to be. So when somebody says, what is the will of God? Okay, that's doing the will of God. Should I go to the right or to the left? That's doing the will of God. What should I do? Living in the will of God, and this is what Jesus taught Louisa, is Jesus, waking up in the morning and say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, think in my thinking. The three powers that God gave us, our intellect, memory, and will, we begin to see things from a divine perspective. That's Jesus' point of view, not a human perspective. From Jesus' perspective, it's the perfect human. Our intellect, our memory isn't about me. Most people talk about, well, I did this and I do that. I have this degree. I have this. I am this. I've driven here. I've done that. My family does. No. Our memory becomes of Jesus and Mary. That's why we pray the Holy Rosary. We pray the Holy Rosary to meditate on the life of Jesus and Mary, to looking at Jesus through the loving eyes of Mary. And what happens at that point is you are learning how to love Jesus the way Mary did, how to love Mary the way Jesus did. So our memory isn't about us anymore, but it's about the Lord and our mother, our queen, our king, and our savior. It's to look at Jesus and Mary, to fall in love with Jesus and Mary. And then finally, our will. The human will isn't what I want to do. You know, the famous song of Sinatra, I did it my way. That's going to hell. when you do something in your human will, it's not of heaven. I'm sorry. I don't know how good it can be. Jesus says, you were created to be in my image and likeness, Jesus says. It's not to be you. Look at all the awards I got. Look, you know, so what's happened, unfortunately, in the world today is we don't keep holy the Sabbath. We don't spend time at... When we receive Holy Eucharist, the Mass ends. You get the final blessing. You receive Holy Communion, final blessing, final prayer, final blessing, and that's it. Why? The Church wants us to fall in love with Jesus. It's not a time for fellowship. It's a time to adore the Lord and praise the Lord and thank the Lord and glorify the Lord. You are in communion with Him. And Jesus says the whole reason is to get you ready for the perennial communion where you'll never, ever be separated from God again. And so, you know, our job as Catholics is yes, we how to do the will of God, but in this time, sanctification is how to live in the will of God. So what God is asking of us, He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life, not to be worried, not to be fearful, not to be anxious, not to be complaining, not to be sinning. And why? Because our life is to be in God's image and likeness. It's all about God. What did Our Lady say to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation? Bruno was going to kill the Pope. And she appeared to Bruno and she says, why are you trying to harm my son? And he goes, who are you? And she goes, I am Our Lady of Revelation. Basically, I'm going to explain to you what is going to come to the earth. That was Our Lady's job. So what happened at that point? He said, she says to him, She says, the time has now come to an end. That was in 1947, 40 days after Louisa died. Our Lady said, time has now come to an end. Bruno says to Our Lady, you mean the end of the world? And she goes, no, the end of the age of the evil one. See, we've come 6,000 years to the end of the evil one. The new era is going to begin. The new era has begun, and it's going. And the more that people say fiat, like Our Lady, to what God wants, how can this be? How can you want us to have this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this sanctification? And God says, I'll take care of it. You know, do you want to say yes to it? When we say yes, you begin to enter into heaven. The worry, it's like water off a duck's back. The anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, all of a sudden, you begin little by little to be free to live heaven, to be free to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. It's not a time for worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. It's now a time, Jesus says to Louisa, to begin to live a life of heaven, peace, joy, and happiness. So he says there is going to be a terrible chastisement where the large majority of humanity will be gone. He says, but my mother is marking all my children, and no harm can come to them. Jesus says, the children who are marked by my mother, the chastisement will have little or no effect. And then he says this, the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Now why? Because the kingdom is coming. And like the Essenes who were longing for the Messiah at the time of Jesus, we are longing for the kingdom. The Essenes were the first Christians. They believed in Jesus. They followed Jesus. He was everything to them. It's the same thing now with the divine will. As we say yes to this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, it's a new beginning for us and for all of humanity. This is the most glorious time to be alive. You've heard people say, the best is yet to come. Absolutely. You've heard people say, no one can stop what's coming. Absolutely. This is of God. It's not human. It's of God. And He's going to bring humanity where God wanted humanity from the beginning of time with the life that He breathed into Adam. He wants to breathe this life into us. The second Pentecost that's coming is going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket. The first Pentecost was celebrating the asparagus and the strawberries and the first fruits. The second Pentecost is the harvest. It's a new beginning for all of humanity. And we have been, I mean, it's very humbling, but we have been asked by God to be alive at this time. Asked by God to be at the most difficult time. Now, how did he call it? He said it's going to be like the time of birth. What happens at the time of birth? The pain comes more and more intense and more frequently until the baby is born. The pain is going to be very difficult. It's going to be continuous and more difficult until the kingdom. But we're going to survive it. Like a mother survives the birth of a child. God is going to take care of it. And he needs us to just say fiat. This is the main thing that God gave to Louisa. He says basically that he's given to Louisa this new and divine way of holiness that the saints dreamed of. Now, when you look at St. Thomas, well, how come St. Thomas Aquinas didn't talk about it? Well, he did. He said, I'm not going to finish the Summa. He said, what I have written is mere straw compared to what God is going to do. That's the book of heaven to me. What is the book of heaven? Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truth and he will remind you of everything that I have said. The entire book, the 10,000 pages of the book of heaven, is Jesus speaking. I love reading this book. Every day, when I love the calendar. When every day reading, it's heaven. When I meet somebody in the divine will who's moping along, I said, what are you reading? Well, I've been busy and I have had no time to read the book of heaven. Well, Jesus called the book of heaven for a reason. It is the book of heaven. We know of the book of life in heaven, but Jesus has now given us the book of heaven on earth to lead us to this, to live fully in this book of life. He said to Louisa, my children, now this is what he's talking about us. He says, my children, he says, are going to become my divine masterpieces for God. Each and every one of us is going to become what God has originally planned for us to be. And it's not the fallen human nature. It's the divine nature of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Everyone's going to be Catholic. There's not going to be many religions. Why? Because he breathed into Adam the universal truth, the universal language, the universal church, the Catholic Church. And he needs us to be faithful and obedient because Adam was not faithful. Adam was disobedient. So our test is whether to be obedient to Christ and his church. You know, and if there's problems in your parish, if there's problems in your diocese, it means you got to pray more. Jesus is just asking us. He says to Louisa, there is a shortage of priests. Why? Because we're not praying. What did he ask the community to pray? Ask the Lord of the harvest for harvesters. Ask for priests. Pray for them. So what is it? What's Louisa's spiritual director? John Paul II said, St. Honorable de Francia is the one that you pray to for vocations. Why? The book of heaven goes to priests first. The priests have to know this. The priests have to study this. And he says, this is what Jesus says about his priesthood. I'm going to change the priesthood to the way I wanted it from the beginning. There's going to be no question. I told this to my bishop. The miracles that are going to come from priesthood, Jesus says, are unheard of prodigies that are coming to humanity. Wait till you see what God has planned. We have seen nothing yet. Mm. Why? The pause of the 2,000 years is over. So why is everything falling apart? Everything is falling apart. Why? Because the kingdom is coming. If you have a shanty that you've lived in, and you get a couple million dollars, I'm pretty sure you tear down your shanty and you build a palace for yourself. Jesus says, I am bringing you the kingdom. I'm bringing you the new Jerusalem. I'm bringing you the new day. I'm bringing you the new heavens and the new earth. That's what our God is doing. This is the most glorious time to be alive. When you read the Book of Heaven, okay, for example, the illumination of conscience, we know that's coming. How do we get ready for the illumination of conscience? Well, if you read the Book of Heaven, Jesus says, I will illuminate you. What? What is the illumination? He says, the greatest thing that I can give to humanity, this is what he tells Louisa, is he says that humanity knows who they are and who I am. We are going to fall in love with God in a way that we never have before. It's the most marvelous time to be alive. So what is Jesus asking? He's asking us in this time to trust in him so much that we can listen and be led, we can be listened and learn lessons from God Almighty. And they're beautiful. When you read the Book of Heaven, you're going to read something that I won't see, because God speaks to each person individually. He says, the word that I speak to you, Louisa, is, how did he put it? It's a divine life. Every word that I speak to you, Louisa, is a divine life. So when you read the Book of Heaven, and then say you go through the whole thing, okay, and then the next year you read it again, it's brand new. Then the next year after that, you read it again. It's brand new. What's happening? How can this be new? I've never read this. Because he keeps on expanding our capacity to hear the Lord. You don't hear him with your ears, but you hear him with your intellect, memory, and will. You begin to listen to the Lord, and you're happy. That's the most amazing thing about the Book of Heaven. It's Jesus who's speaking. Jesus who's leading, Jesus who's guiding, Jesus promising us he will fill us with his Holy Spirit to overflowing.
Yeah. Father,
I like also when he explains about the reason for the general confusion today, the 2,000-year renewal as he's done for the last 6,000 years. I think that's extraordinary. People really believe that. But also, Father, I think it's really important, too, the cause and effect. Jesus tells us what's going to happen, of course, with the chastisements, but he also gives us the effect of that also. He tells us in volume, I think it's 12, that as a result of these said chastisements, excuse me, the Vatican will be shaken in part, but in the end, all nations will turn back to God. So we know what the end result is going to be, just like when he says the divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these nor God's enemies will get close to those souls living in the divine will. So, again, he gives us the breath. I mean, and again, to your point, we have to look at this as truth, and we cannot be nervous. This is going to happen. It has to be with us, not without us.
Absolutely. The more you read the divine will, the more peaceful you are. And why? Because he continually shows us that he is our God. He is our Savior. He is our King. He's our Master. And it's so beautiful. And he's constantly, constantly, constantly reaffirming that he's going to take care of his children. It's really the most astonishing thing in the world. And there will be, like he says, there will be victim souls. But these victim souls will be used, he says, to lessen the chastisement for all of humanity. We're going to be punished. I mean, it's not that God wants to do this. He says, well, for example, the fastest growing religion in the United States is Satanism. You know, how do we know? Look down your street. Who's got skeletons and werewolves and witches and warlocks and goblins and, you know, who? How many people? What's the most popular costume to wear? It's the living dead. That's the devil. He's living dead, and everybody wants to dress like this, put blood all over their face. It's not about life. That's it. And some people celebrate this Halloween more than they celebrate Christmas. Let's look at Christmas. You know, what do you got outside your house? Oh, we got deer, and we got reindeer, and we got snowflakes, and we got snowmen, and we got candy canes. Where's Jesus Christ? Where's the King? Where's the Prince of Peace? Where's his mother? Where are the three wise men? Very, very few people want Jesus Christ. And that's why he said it will be like the time of Noah. What happened in the time of Noah? The verse before Genesis 6, it says, the sons of God saw the daughters of Adam as beautiful and had children with them. What's the next line? God was sad that he created man. And what did he do? He sent the first purification, the flood. It's going to be like the time of Noah. That's where we are. Some people say it's more sinful than the time of Noah, because it was a small area where this is the whole world. So what happened after that? The second purification was the blood of Jesus washing the world clean on Calvary. And then the third purification is coming, and that's fire. What is the fire? It's the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the life of Jesus and Mary, the love of Jesus and Mary is going to come to the earth. The earth is going to be consumed in the burning love of God. And for those who love Jesus and Mary, it will be ecstasy. For those who don't want God, it's going to be wailing and grinding of teeth, because they're going to see the love of God and know that they have said, no, I don't want this. They're going to get what they want. God has to give everybody they want what they want. Jesus said to Louisa, I have to release all the demons. And Louisa said, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You don't have to do this. And he says, Louisa, you don't understand. Humanity wants the demons, and I have to give them to them. Mm. The devil wanted hell. He gave the devil hell. He gave the devil hell. Yeah. God loves us very much, but he has to give us what we want. Do we keep holy the Sabbath, or is it another sports day? I mean, after Louisa was born, every sport was born. Soccer, hockey, football, tennis, golf. Why? The devil knew he had to have other gods for people to worship on the Sabbath. So where are the children on the Sabbath? Well, they're at golf, tennis, hockey, soccer, race car driving, horse racing. I mean, they're with their gods. It's not the Lord. Oh, I love Jesus Christ. You do? You really love Jesus Christ. What do you do on Sunday? That's going to tell us whether you really love Jesus or not. Do you keep holy the Sabbath? See, we have to become Catholic again. I remember the Blue Sundays. There was nothing opened. Now everything is open. Why? They don't want anybody to keep holy the Sabbath. That's the day we glorify God. Mm. We have to become Catholic again, praying the rosary, wearing the scapular, attending Holy Mass, spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's what Jesus is waiting. He says to Louisa, the kingdom is coming. That's a divine decree. We read that earlier. It's going to come on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus is saying to us, I have to give you what you want. How are you living? You want to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative? Then you are anticipating hell, Jesus says to Louisa. But if you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, you are anticipating heaven. Well, how do you become peaceful, joyful, and happy? It's the sacraments and sacramentals. When you go to confession and make a good confession, you are full of grace. When you go to Holy Mass and receive Jesus worthily, you are full of grace. When you spend time adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him, you're getting ready for eternity. Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, she said, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong, and they will enjoy the beatific vision, where the children of the devil will always be trapped in time and space and never be able to enter into eternity and never be able to enjoy the beatific vision. So what does that tell us? Our life is to be with God in ecstasy of the beatific vision. That's where we're supposed to be. So we're here on earth to get ready for heaven.
Amen.
I mean, really.
Yep.
And what does our life look like? Is it filled with Halloween stuff? Or is it filled on Christmas with candy canes and deer? Or are we really, for Halloween, are we ready to adore the saints and thank God for the saints and pray to them for help? For Christmas, are we getting ready to remember the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, our Lord, our Savior, our Master? A Sunday, is it a sports day? Or is it or is it the Lord's day? What I find the divine will to do is to wake us up. This is not about having fun. It's about being in ecstasy.
Yeah.
It's to begin to live this abundant life that God wants us to live.
Yeah.
It's the most glorious time to be alive. It really is.
Amen. You say that all the time, Father, and it drew me in. And we have just a couple of minutes left. For our listeners, Father Celso has mentioned the Book of Heaven a number of times, and I'm part of a cenacle that reads the Book of Heaven 7 days a week now. Well, Monday through Friday, we read from the Book of Heaven. On Saturday and Sunday, we pray the rounds. And it's every morning from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. You don't have to stay for the whole hour and a half, but we do read the Book of Heaven chronologically. If you're interested in more information, please email me at ken@inhissign.com, ken@inhissign.com. And I can send you the information as to how to join the cenacle. I also highly recommend Peter's website, queenofthedivinewill.org. That's queenofthedivinewill.org. There's almost too much material out there. You have to sift through it. But, whatever you want to learn about Louisa and this gift of the divine will, you can find on his website. Father, we just have about 30 seconds left. I hate to have to cut you off, but can we get your blessing before we go?
Sure, absolutely. May the Lord Jesus continue to bless you and guide you, draw you ever closer to His Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that you be freed of your ego and your will so that you live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, Father. Peter, thanks again, pal. I'll talk to you in a little bit. For our listeners,
thank you, Ken. Thanks
for whatever part of the 2 hours you were able to be with me today, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Till then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Take care.